everyone, and welcome back to the 801 Podcast. My name is Cho.
I'm Charles.
Aaron.
Melissa.
Sarah.
And today we have a topic to piggyback off our last episode, which was, what makes a BL good? Now we're getting a little bit more philosophical with it. What makes a BL?
Yeah, so this kind of came out of the Anime News Network's The List from one day in October, where they had said the top five BL, and the banner image on the site was Yuri and I, so I was already like, oh no, went ahead and queued up my Twitter so I could immediately respond. Read the article, and it was basically their top five BL, two of which, as we will discuss, did not meet our criteria for what is BL. And they had Yuri on Ice and number six on there. And the Yuri on Ice one particularly set me off because of comments from the author that it was just like, ah, come on, you guys. Like, I was really mad because it deserves better than that. So that article, so I tweeted some things, basically like, I mean, beyond like your opinion, this is just like shoddy journalism, because any Google will tell you that like this Yuri on Ice is not BL. Like, okay, you clearly did not do your research. But so then my tweets, I guess a couple people like picked them up and then we had responses. And so it was a whole big thing for like a week or 2 weeks where I kept getting responses about it. And so a lot of what we're talking about here is just kind of like our positions as BL Garden on some of these things to kind of like, I guess, our response to that. Yes. So we will get into it. The number one question, as Cho mentioned, is what makes a BL? And how do you know when something is MM romance or LGBT manga but not BL?
So we have a survey that we've done looking at Fujoshi, basically Fujoshi consumer habits in regards to BL as a genre. And we were talking about the results to one particular question, which was, what was your first BL? And there were a lot of interesting comments, like number six and Kiyokara Mao and things like that. And we were like, well, why do people think these are BL? Of course, because, you know, there is a kiss between boys in both of them. And BL means gay, right? But not exactly. So I think what makes a BL is really up to authorial intent, because what they set out to do, even if it gets interpreted a certain way, or even if what we see on page is two dudes getting married, like in Yuri on Ice, that isn't necessarily what was intended. Like, the author probably didn't intend for it to be a BL. Yuri on Ice is not a BL, because you know, that label has been very firmly shirked. You know, you won't see it officially listed as a BL anywhere. Number six is not a BL because it was not meant to be. You won't find the authors at all calling it a BL just because there's a kiss between two boys in it. So I think the intent of the creator is the main driving point, and also whether or not the romance in it is central to the plot.
Yeah, I think for me, when I look at the difference between specifically Yuri on Ice, because this is the one that seems to get conflated the most, is that in BL, no matter how long it takes us, you know, it could be 30 volumes long, we know that the two characters who we are fundamentally set up to ship, like, because you don't get options usually in BL manga, there's a canon ship there. That's going to happen. It doesn't matter how long it takes, it's going to happen. In Yuri on Ice, we did not know it was going to happen. And that is actually one of the biggest joys of watching the show, but it's also one of the biggest bones of contention that people had. I mean, even within this group, we argued, Cho and I argued about whether this was canon gay or not. And like, my particular feelings were that I felt like, I don't know where this is going for a full relationship, but I was convinced early on that Yuri Kotsky was gay, because I think there were some clear signs. But even then, like, you still don't know, because the characters still don't actually label within that show. There was still the whole discourse about, was it a kiss? Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, the authors, because of some of this stuff, have gone back and, like, you know, clarified statements, or they have left it up much more ambiguously. But because they firmly reject the BL label, like we've said, and because in this case, there was no guarantee that this would end up BL, you can't really say it is when you have this whole genre where that's the whole point. You know, there's other plot elements beyond just a romance in a BL manga, but it's not like something like in Yuri on Ice or, say, Free, you know, number six, where it's really not a guarantee that anything's going to happen.
And even though you can argue number six in particular is a romance that's building the whole time, and there's not really a whole lot of question about it, where on Yuri on Ice there's the whole, is it queer, is it going to be queer baiting, or is it going to be for real? But just to hammer home that especially one of the creators of Euro on Ice vigorously refutes that it is a BL. If you ask her a question related to BL, she will yell, "It is not BL. It is not BL," over and over and over again. So by that metric, it cannot be BL.
And not to get too much off on a tangent, but just to kind of piggyback on that for Yuri and Ice, there were comments made this summer after, I think it was summer of 2017, for Welcome to the Ballroom by, it was either the director or the producer. And basically, he categorized Yuri and Ice as BL and said, oh, well, that's why it's successful, because of the BL elements. He said boys love elements. Because he was particularly trying to capitalize on that success for Welcome to the Ballroom, but was saying essentially that we're not going to have any of those aspects, which was a little bit weird because it's like, okay, you want Yuri and Ice fans to watch your show, but you don't seem to know why we liked it. Because even if Yuri and Ice is not supposed to be BL, it's no surprise that a large part of the reason it's popular is because it gave us what we finally wanted, because the queer baiting turned out to not be queer baiting. We had what fans view as an authentic LGBT romance. I don't know. Yuri and Ice is just so complicated with all of that. Because I felt like the comments that the Welcome to the Ballroom director had made were very negative towards BL, which some of what we're, you know, saying today is it's not to be negative about BL, but it's to draw that line in the sand, because we have two equally worthwhile genres. And Yuri and Ice is like sports anime. There's LGBT manga. There's GL. There's all kinds of other genres out there that can sometimes cross over into these spaces. And it's not, when we say Yuri and Ice is not a BL, it's not to slight that. And it's not to slight BL. It's to basically say, here are two equally worthwhile things, and you can like either one, just don't conflate them. Because when you conflate them, it causes a lot of problems in how people interpret them and how they feel about things. Because, as we'll probably get into, people have a lot of negative thoughts about BL.
So if Yuri on Ice and Number Six are not BL, maybe it's worthwhile to say, what are they?
I mean, Yuri on Ice, first and foremost, is a sports anime. The amount of sports in that show it's greater than something even like a Free, where Free always does this thing where it gets to episode 6 or 7 and it remembers that it's a sports anime. And they have to suddenly compete for the next 5 episodes and cram all the competition in. Yuri on Ice paced it out like it was meant to be this homage to all of the creator's favorite figure skaters. So it's very sports anime. It's got a lot of drama. It does have romance. Something like Number Six is a dystopian sci-fi. It is a shoujo, that's the magazine it runs in, but that really just tells you the intended audience. It doesn't really tell you much about the plot, per se.
I would like to say that I think if you want to do a quick like litmus test, take the show or manga that you're looking at and imagine that the central relationship, the gay relationship, didn't happen. Do you have a story left? Do you have anything left? If you have, like, a plot left and lots of character arcs and other stuff, I would say that it's not a BL. But if you take out the gay relationship and everything else kind of falls apart because it all branched out from there, I would say that's a BL.
I think that's true even for a recent example would be Given, which is very good and could almost stand on its own without the romance, but the romance is so integral to the characters getting along as a band, and it's very early on the characters' journeys towards each other. One character's journey towards finding his sexuality, another character's healing. So if you take out the queer elements, there's nothing to the story, because it's fundamental that one of the characters is gay.
It ties it all together.
Can I just say, even if I didn't read like the genre tag, I've never genuinely been surprised that something is a BL. A BL has never surprised me with the surprise relationship.
Yeah.
So like, I could watch Given and not know what it is, and like midway through the first episode, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like that, I didn't get that with Yuri on Ice. I didn't get that with Number Six. BL titles never bury their lead.
Yeah,
you're gonna know what it is up front, and I think that's also a good like indicator of what you're.
My mother halfway through Given is like, "Oh, it's one of these."
There it is.
Well, and as we talk about like authorial intent and audience intent, because that's one of the things to differentiate. Again, like if it's a BL, it's because it's aimed 99% of the time, at least in Japan, it is for women by women. That's the magazine it's running in. But we do have examples out in the, you know, world of anime and manga that are slightly confusing. So you have something like Seraph of the Inn, for example, where if you read the manga, very shonen, you might be able to ship them. Like, you can ship the characters in Naruto, but there's really not much to go off of. Like, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for the shipping aspects. If you watch the anime, graphic choices that they made in how they did Mika and Yu, even the magazine art that you see, they were very clearly going after an audience. And whether they had found that there was a community for that based on the manga, we're not sure, because they didn't really want to admit when we tried to talk to the creators about, like, hey, were you going after Fujoshi? Because it's fairly obvious. But of course, they're not going to, like, we're calling their bluff, and they're not going to want to, like, admit to that. But Seraph at the End has a big Fujoshi following, but it's not BL. And even though the anime, on some level, intended for people, for Fujoshi to watch it, it's not BL. If we look at Promare, which has kind of exploded recently in the Fujoshi community, absolutely did not intend for there to be a Fujoshi audience. Like, I'm pretty sure the producers, based upon their comments and how the comments have changed, like, they're reacting to that surprise audience here. It's like for My Little Pony, when they discovered, like, oh, guys are watching this, not little girls. And then they pivot their marketing, and then they pivot how they're talking about it. So that can get confusing sometimes, is because you see something that, like, Fujoshi have adopted, but it doesn't mean it was ours from the beginning. And it doesn't mean that, like, even though I think we've conquered Promare, Promare is ours, it still does not mean that it's BL.
So Fujoshi are bronies.
No. I see that with Sarah's On My as well, because there's a gay couple in it. People think, oh, well, it's BL, and I'm like, they have nothing to do with, like, the majority of the plot.
They're important.
They're important, but the story could go on if they didn't have a relationship, so.
But that one's interesting, because the initial manga and the initial marketing was very Ryomabu heavy, and they had a canon BL manga that is actually going to, it got licensed recently for the U.S. market. Yes.
Oh, is it the spinoff series with them?
Yeah, so that was all the preliminary marketing, which actually would have led you to believe Sarah's On My was much more BL heavy, and that it would have been closer to something for us. And then in the end, the story was just messy, and Ryomabu got, like, literally axed. So yeah. that one's very messy, but it's like, that is another good example of, like, you can, and I think now we're going to start seeing more dual audience, mm-hmm. where they're trying to split their, they're going to hedge their bets, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we're going to get some content in our magazines, there's going to be a nice pash illustration, but that's really just to try to get us to buy things. It's not really to get any kind of, like, full-on progressiveness in the story per se.
Going off of Sarons and My, Utena is not a Yuri. No matter what it may look like, it is not a Yuri. What? Is that surprising to you?
Yes.
It's not. So it's kind of in the same vein like that. Like, explaining why Alfie and Utena are, like, together, but not together. Because, well, the manga is a lot more fucked up than you would imagine. Mm-hmm. She's fucking her brother. It's insane. But it's not a Yuri. And explaining that to someone, it's probably a lot easier, I feel like. Well, maybe not in this instance. But, like, explaining that to someone who, like, you wouldn't think of Utena as being a Yuri, I feel like, just off the top of your head, just because it's never really been marketed to you that way. You know, you always see them kissing, but it's not a Yuri. And the same thing that Yuri on Ice is not a BL, even though Victor and Yuri might kiss. It's all about what goes on around that, and if whether or not the story as a driving force. Well, maybe that's not a good comparison, because her story at the start is a little bit of a driving force to get them together, but everything around Yuri and Yuri on Ice is about his character development, mm-hmm. and that takes, I would say, precedent over his relationship with Yuri, but that is, which is supporting what his character arc is, mm-hmm. and I would feel like in most BL you don't get individual character arcs.
Mm-hmm. It's the same for Sarah Zenmai in the sense that, like, Ryo and Mabu come from, I mean, there's a canon BL for them or whatever, they're canon gay, but that doesn't mean that the other aspects of the story got affected in that way. So you can't compare the main trio and say that they're even on the same level as Ryomabu. Because Ryomabu were, like, arguably kind of designed to be this way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a very odd thing. Ikuhara things are so odd. And it's just to prove a point that we may never understand. So it's like there's so many layers of symbolism, it's not even reality.
It's right up there with Kojima and Death Stranding.
And another way that we've talked in the past, especially with our research, to divide what we officially can figure out as BL and what's not BL is the publication, which goes back to authorial content. If it's published in a BL magazine, it's going to be a BL without a doubt.
Almost certainly.
If it's not, it's probably not going to be. There are some weird ones, but...
But we're pointing out that people are going to start hedging their bets. Like, it's kind of like we've gone full circle. Like, back in the day, like, they were afraid to even hint towards gay things to lose markets. But now they're putting it in there to sell to Fujoshi to get their money. So Now we might see some crossover. So something might have heavy BL tones to get that audience, but not actually be in a BL publication.
And, you know, it's understandable, Ben, because Yuri on Ice was not a manga first. Mm-hmm. So what you saw on the screen, you had to like, you couldn't go to look at the publication and say, mm-mm. Oh, it's a no. shonen. You just had to like, oh, boys kissing.
Okay. Yeah, you had to wait for a translated interview yeah. to come out for the, yeah. them to figure it out. So speaking of running in a BL publication, what happens when we have titles like Banana Fish, or which we sometimes say is not BL, but then we have Kazutiki no Uta, which was prior to that, which we say is the first BL. How do we differentiate from, say, BL from the 1970s and the mid part of the 1980s, that there were no BL manga publications?
Yeah, so anything prior to the definition of BL being a thing, including publications, then there's sort of room for argument, where were Banana Fish to have come out 10 years later would have been in a BL magazine? I mean, what do you think?
It's really hard to say, because mm-hmm. you don't know, because I feel like when you read the manga, the author's intent is kind of like, but then when you look at the art book and her illustrations, you know it was there. So it's hard to say what she would have thought, where it would have fit best. I really don't know on that one. Banana Fish still sometimes, like, that one is so odd, because, like, you know, like, going into the anime, like, I knew so much of the history about it, but the people who I knew who also watched it were very surprised audience. Like I was shocked that I had a lot of male coworkers who watched it.
Yes. The Banana Fish anime does not categorize itself as a BL. And so in that way we can say the anime is not, but is the manga is still sort of a question, I guess. But I mean, if you get so far into definitions, you could also argue, well, is Omegaverse BL? Because they're like, mm-hmm. they're yes. men, but they're also like separate species of men.
If we're going off authorial intent, it was created for a specific MM ship. So I would say Omegaverse by its yeah. definition is. And that is why in the lawsuit, the author said, yes. I am the queen of heterosexual ADO.
Yes, I created so, it.
Yeah. yeah. Something like yeah. Banana Fish, like if we consider the anime, I think regardless of it being BL, it is at the very least still shoujo, because the manga was created by women for women, and that anime is by women for women. They understood exactly what they were doing when they had Utsumi directed.
Well, wouldn't Banana Fish be more about Ash's like character development and arc and like his rise and fall more than just his relationship?
Like a parallel to Yuri.
Yes, so I don't think it was necessarily just about his relationship to Eiji, but mm-hmm. I think that you can see that there was a very clear female gaze mm-hmm. in Banana Fish mm-hmm. in terms of the way it was still cinematically done, because I think if a guy had done it, the way that some scenes would have been done would not have been played up the way they were, and they were completely played up voyeuristically. And it's not saying anything weird, but it's like that Utsumi likes that. She wants to be looking up a guy's torso. It doesn't matter if he's about to get shot. Like, that's her shtick.
But then would we have to add, like, you know, sexy dudes to what makes a BL a BL? Because, like,
no.
Straight women who don't like BLs still like to yeah. like sexy okay. dudes.
Yeah, yeah, I guess my point was more of, like, we can't say that Banana Fish is BL, but we can still say that it's shoujo. It retained yeah. its shoujo-ness even when it became an anime. But, I mean, getting back to, I guess, how we consider things, I think that we do have a slight category of exceptions, and that Banana Fish would have to fall into that exception category, because it's like, we can't really say yes or no, because mm-hmm. like Kazutiki no Uta, you're not fully sure, like, you can kind of see the intent to do something different, but it's like, Fujoshi didn't exist. So right now when we talk about BL and authorial intent, it's because it's BL and it's also aimed at this specific audience. Fujoshi as an audience was non-existent, so it's hard to look at that component and try to categorize. So we have to have a few things that it's like, they're kind of like the progenitors of BL, because there's not enough information and the authors either aren't talking about it or nobody's asking these questions to really figure out, like, well, what were you trying to do here? Did you see
link.
It as something different, or did you see it still as part of shoujo?
I would ask, like, with the gift of hindsight, Song of the Wind and Trees is now considered pretty widely to be a BL. When you're talking about it,
yeah,
you call
the first
it a BL.
BL.
But Banana Fish, you don't. Like, Gift of Hindsight has not changed the debate of whether or not it is or isn't. And why do you think that is?
I think that for the most part, people forgot about Banana Fish. And I feel like my personal definition of it switches, because, like, up until pretty recently, I would have been like, Banana Fish is not BL because there was no magazine for it. But now, like, even with this debate, it's like, well, Kazutiki no Uta is so distinct from even, like, Ai no Kusabi or Zetsuai, which are about the earliest of what we would consider to be contemporary BL. Not contemporary in the sense of, like, 2010s, but, like, when we think of BL as a chunk, those are kind of at the start. And then Kaizutiki no Uta, like, there's this whole decade where it just, we had the start of it in the 70s, and then, like, almost a decade and a half, really, where there's not as much. So I think that because if I'm going to consider Kaizutiki no Uta BL, knowing that here's all the limitations for it, I think that I would have to put BL, like, Banana Fish in with it as proto-BL. Because sometimes, I don't know, it's so hard because nothing, like, canonically happens in Banana Fish.
Mm-hmm. The story, like, is more, yeah.
But I think that, like, if you look at the language, it's like in Yuri on Ice, which is not a BL, but, like, you can tell that there, like, I felt very strongly that there was a gay character, even if it's not explicitly being said. And I feel very strongly in Banana Fish that there is, I mean, they've canonically said they're soulmates. They've just not acted on it. I don't know. Anything before Zetsuai is too messy. Like, yeah. Which is not... Yeah. It's too difficult to label.
I still think we can label the anime, because it came out now, yeah. And yes. They could have made all sorts of changes to it if they wanted to.
Could have. Yeah.
And it is not a BL anime.
Yeah. They didn't even make the big change that everybody wanted them to make, so they were just like, let's be faithful here. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to keep us moving here, as we've been kind of talking about the anime manga, do you feel like anime overall has gotten more gay? Have shows per se gotten more progressive? Do you think there's just more queer baiting to confuse people? And do you think that we as Western fans potentially are also so starved for representation that we conflate LGBT romances? Like, basically, why is this confusion happening?
I say yes to all three of those things, mm-hmm. In different parts. So, for sure, there's a lot of queer baiting going on in these very demonstrably not BL shows. And so, like we've described before, that, like, Haikyuu is like going to a Subway. Like, you can pick your toppings and, you know, put them together if you want. Ooh. And there's all whole mix and match. Whereas Free is more like an all-you-can-eat buffet of, you know, these characters.
Yes.
But then, what's another one? Then you get to Kuroko no Basuke and it's like, well, you know, it's a little harder to put a sandwich together there. Okay, so...
But you can do it if you're really dedicated.
Yeah. And and there's plenty of queer baiting going on in those and other shows also. So, yes, there's definitely queer baiting because they recognize the power of the Fujoshi to build an audience on. And people have embraced it, and the doujinshi market is flourishing. But also, there has been more canon gay characters lately, I think. Now, my opinion may not count for very much because I don't watch that much anime unless it has a canon gay character in it, generally speaking. But it does seem to be that way to me.
It's accelerated in the last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only having a gay character, but having that character not be the butt of the joke, necessarily being a normal kind of character, for one thing. All right, but I also do think that the star for representation thing counts a lot, because there are definitely times when people will kind of reflect themselves or their own ideas onto characters that we don't have that much information about, like a background character, a character we just don't know that much about, which is fine, but it definitely happens, even if that wasn't the intent at all. And then it becomes sort of a headcanon that a bunch of people jump onto all at the same time, where people are like, oh, that's definitely a trans man who is also a lesbian, and, you know, or like, what was that thing? And you're like,
yeah.
Dude, it's just a drawing. There's not even a name. There's not a bio. And but that can kind of enter the, I don't know, collective headcanon of everybody and become that way. So that's a, I would say that's a product of Star
Trek
representation. Yeah.
But does anybody play Pokemon Go?
That's exactly actually what I'm thinking.
And they like jump onto the gym leader, like just barely a shadow, and they like have a story about their whole life. Like,
yes.
This is a trans, and she struggled, and like I'm like, it's an outline,
literally an outline.
Because they want characters like
they
that.
They want
so
it.
Like, I see, especially mm-hmm. for Your Nice, like because one of the major side audiences was like just LGBT people in general who were kind of already in the fandom space, but not necessarily mm-hmm. in the anime space, who you could convince to watch it because it's like, well, this is probably the best thing we have to show you, like, what an anime gay relationship would look like at the time.
Yeah. But now we're actually getting it, though. And Pokemon Go, apparently recently,
used they to refer to Blanche pronouns, and people were like, "We are getting what we want."
Yeah, and whether that was their intent in the beginning or if they just took the collective headcanon and ran with it, either way is fine with me.
Sell to your audience.
But yeah,
Pokemon's got that ability. Mm-hmm. Anime. The problem with anime here is that it takes so damn long to get one greenlit and then to make that. I think people can confuse things because anything prior to about 2019, like this year, I would say, you can't really say that it was because of Yuri on Ice. Like, it might have been an accidental coincidence. But even Promare, like, they've been working on this for 6 years. That's way before Yuri on Ice. So it's not like, it's not because of Yuri on Ice. I think we're starting to see some of that. I think that because we've seen a lot more actual BL projects get greenlit, that shows that, like, you know, you can have this non-BL LGBT romance, but you can also double down on your like audience who also want this. That's what we're going to see like going forward into the new decade. But it's so hard right now to really like, I guess, say that anything that any progress we have had is because of your or that it's really addressing what fans want. I think in the next couple of years we're going to start to see more of that shift.
I see. Also this year, just working on our last podcast of this year when we're planning the list. We have had almost twice the number of BL publications of last year. Just physical copies being made. It's almost doubled in 1 year. And we're like, I remember when they would maybe come out with three in a year. And now they're coming out with, like, I have to remember which ones are coming out in this month. Because I'm like, did I miss one? Did this one come out already?
Multiple publishers got into the market.
Yeah.
One publisher basically died in they're only releasing onlines only. And then two more have sort of stepped up.
Yeah. Mainstream, like, manga publishers have kind of added BL to their catalog as a way to try to capture that audience. Which, that's something that you could, like, for manga acquisitions and anime acquisitions, you can more closely see, like, say, the post-Yuri on Ice effect where they're going to try to capitalize. But in terms of actual stories being made, that's still playing itself out.
Yeah.
From a Western audience, as we are all Westerners, I recently watched a video essay by Francesca Dixon, who is like a fandom historian, and she posited that queerbaiting, and like as it is understood now, does not exist. And what we're seeing is pink baiting or pink washing, wherein we learn as like women who were grown up watching romances and having that thrust on us to see markers of romantic development in shows, and then we see male characters doing what we think are imitations of this together, and we just sort of then naturally assume that's where it's going. Because, you know, like, characters sacrificing themselves for each other is what happens in romances. So obviously that must be this. I do think things have gotten gayer, but I think we've also just, you know, we're maybe playing ourselves a little bit. And we need to, like, learn to pull back from that.
Yeah. I agree with that on some points. I do think there are good examples of queerbaiting, like, actual queerbaiting. I don't think it is actually as prevalent, especially after there's the big lashback against it. I feel like people are...
I would say the only queerbaiting that I see is, like, behind the scenes. Things happen on the show because, even though we hate to admit it, they get nothing out of baiting queer people. We're not a very large, like, section of the population. We're not their intent. People who are watching Starsky and Hutch, a lot of them turned out to be women. A lot of them turned out to want them to be gay, but their intent was men. And they did get a male audience. Mm-hmm. They really get nothing by pandering to such a small subset. Whereas you go on the internet, where a lot of queer people congregate, if you then maybe make a tweet about it, or then, like, nudge people, like, behind the scenes, that, I think, counts as queerbaiting.
Yeah.
But actual on-show queerbaiting doesn't really happen. Like, the whole Sherlock and John Watson thing, that was never actually on the show. And they were pretty upfront about it.
Yeah, but there's authors who, at panels, they play very coy. Like, I've seen several interviews where someone's like, is so-and-so a couple? They're like, well, if you want them to be a couple, then they are. If you don't, they're not. Because they want to... They don't want to lose any audience.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's trying to get as much audience as possible and not alienate. And we're just, unfortunately, like, we say we don't like queerbaiting, and yet we still fall for it and play into it because it's like, okay, well, it's better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
But we're kind of, like, we're playing ourselves here.
Yeah.
I've got let's think of some examples of actual real queerbaiting. How about the Haru and Rin having to share a bed scene?
I think in anime, it's different because then that's fan service and not queer
baiting. Because that does actually turn into money.
Yeah. Fan service and queer baiting are two different things because they're not thinking of like, queer people are going to see this and like think, oh, they're like me. They're thinking girls are going to see this and be like, oh my God, they're so cute. Maybe those girls are straight. They're probably thinking we're mostly straight. Yeah. I think that's fan service, which happens a lot in anime and that's different from
queer baiting. So my question as Sherlock and Supernatural are often accused of this.
No queer baiting in Supernatural. I'm sorry.
My question, so I agree with you there, but my question about Sherlock is they created that episode with the fans where he kisses Moriarty or whatever. I would say that was when he was capitalizing on the fandom market.
Or he was messing with that.
There was a kiss in Sherlock?
Yeah. No, it was someone.
It was a fake one.
Okay, because I was like,
it was a dream. It was a fanfiction writer who was like, what if this happened?
But there was a fanfic episode on Supernatural where they're making fun of girls on the internet.
And I think that was in a friendly intent. This one was more attacking.
To Cho's point, fan service is different from queer baiting. In queer baiting, like, we're supposed to think they're actually gay. Queer baiting. So, like, for free, we would be like, oh, it's Haru's, like, he's gay or whatever. But that's not the case. So, like, Yuri on Ice is queerbaiting because, even though it turned out to be real, like, we thought it was queerbaiting because there were signs of, like, okay, this guy is a queer guy going through this romance or you know, having these feelings, and we were worried it wasn't going to end up being true because we saw the signs versus the fan, like, the fan service is seeing Victor's butt. That's not queer baiting because I, as a woman, can still enjoy that.
Yeah.
Or somebody who's straight, you know, can enjoy that. Whatever. That's like, I think that those get conflated for fans, which is probably where some of this confusion comes from.
Yeah. And like, John Locke is a very big ship, but BBC Sherlock, the creator, who is gay, did say, no, that's not our intent, and I'm sorry. They said that. At that point, if you then, you know, interpret John caring about Sherlock in a certain way as being, like, queer baiting, that's you wanting to see that. His position hasn't changed. It's just we are programmed to see certain, like, acts as being romantic. And then we see that on the show, and we think, this must mean that. Like, I know Supernatural fans have been told many times that Dean and Castiel are not going to get together. Dean has said in the show that Cass, he thinks of Cass as a brother. Mm-hmm. Like, they've said that multiple times. So
you
when,
love that.
I love that. We're all incest shippers.
No.
When you think about it. No. But, so when Cass dies and Dean is really sad, of course you're going to think, well, he's sad because he was in love with him and now he'll never be able to get to say it. No. He's sad because his friend is dead.
And that's normal.
Yeah, and that's normal to grieve.
I mean, in part, like, thinking about the pink washing, we as women don't see these types of relationship between men in the real world. Men are either not the ones who are going to rape us, or they are the ones who will, to be blunt. So it's like, when you see toxic masculinity, and you see all that kind of, like, male violence upon women, and then you see, like, the neutral, or then you see something that is, like, them actually having healthy male friendships... Yeah. It seems gay.
Yes.
You know? That's what they have to say, like, no homo, because they don't know how to have, like, touchy-feely relationships that aren't gay with each other.
I think we've gone a bit full circle with that, too. Like, if you read, like, Victorian times, like, and interactions between men and women, men and men and women, it wasn't unusual for people of the same gender to share a bed in, like, certain circumstances if they were traveling. And you ever, like, do a history project and you have to read, original documents, like, letters.
Oh, first-hand accounts.
Accounts. And men writing letters to other men, and you'd think they were in, like, the way they wrote them, that they were a couple. No, they're just two dudes working together and how they talk to each other. And that was considered acceptable. But then it all became in, like, I don't know, somewhere it became the no homo and you had to be like... Love you, man. No homo. But then
Hamilton and Jefferson or something like that. It was like, you must come live next to me with some friends.
Yes, yes. Please marry my 12-year-old neighbor so you can move in next to me. We can always see each other.
But it's hard
because it was good for men to be friends. But then it became bad for men to be friends because there was the gay panic. But now I think we've gotten past gay panic a bit. And now it's okay for men to have relationships again. But we're so, like, I guess, used to gay panic that, like, any men treating other men with affection has to be gay.
But I saw someone, like, I watched Supernatural still, and Dean and Castiel, like, had an argument. And Dean was like, hey, everything goes wrong when you're here, so maybe you should just leave. And Castiel, people were like, oh my God, it's a breakup. And I'm like, or they're arguing. it's just like, we get so, and I think, you know, shipping things, you know, you put on shipping goggles and then you can't take them off. But bringing that back to like actual anime, I feel like you said, free, that's fan service. They don't actually, no one actually thinks that Rin and Haru are going to end up together.
I mean, Haru's like water sexual. He's not interested in anything but water.
Yeah. I can't think of, honestly think of any like actual queer baiting examples from anime. So I feel like we don't have that.
Because anytime that it happened, it turned out to be real.
Yeah.
Like, Uranus was the perfect one in that the signs were so obvious for some of us, maybe. And then it becomes obvious after the 10th episode. And then it ended up happening. Because, like, for it to be queer baiting, it has to, like, not actually occur.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was a fun discussion.
Yes. Moving on, as we kind of move to talk about actual BL some. Is it bad to draw these lines in the sand for BL and not BL?
Well,
to have this discourse.
In the uptick in anti-culture, maybe it is good to draw lines. Because then, for them, they can say this is bad and this is good because this is BL and this isn't. So maybe the erasure of those lines is better in the end. But, I mean, if you're going to criticize it because it's BL, maybe make sure it's BL first, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you're going to laud it because it's a good BL, maybe you should make sure it's a BL first.
Yeah.
At ANN.
Yeah. At ANN, who also wrote another article calling Boys Love BOY-LOVE, Boy Love.
Oh my god, no. That is like my one pet peeve from con season. Yes, people would say it with boy love, and I'm like, no, no, this is not, ignore the super lovers print, this is not boy love, this is boys love.
Boys are not good.
Yes, there's an S, and it's very important because some people go to NAMBLA and some people don't.
NAMBLA, for those youngsters who don't know what it is the North American Man-Boy Love Association.
Okay, so... I mean, I think we understand that it's important to categorize because of when we talk about things, and even just from like an academic perspective, like you have to know what this thing is if you're going to talk about it. You have to categorize these different types of manga.
But sorry, does that allow, just devil's advocate here, does that allow for like crossing genres? Like, we can think of Aino Kusabi as like fantasy BL, but what about something that is maybe like Number Six, but the relationship is more prominent? Is stifling it by putting it in a box?
Like, so you mean like artistic freedom, like being able to like cross all the boundaries? I mean, I kind of get that.
But like, fantasy is not an audience exclusive genre like BL is. And like, if you look at the way manga is published in Japan, like a lot of the genres you talk about, like you could have a shonen and it could be any type of shonen out there. It could be crime, it could be fantasy, it could be isekai, which is different from fantasy. It could be any of those types of things, like fighting, sports, that's shonen, versus you have something, I'm gesturing with my hands and y'all can't see this, that's, you know, boys love is for women, like shonen is different, shoujo is different, seinen is different, and those are genres that exist outside of like your fantasy, crime, sports type thing.
Because you can have more about age.
What if we get like a boys love that everybody loves, like promare sold like ridiculous tickets, right? What if the relationship was more central? And not only do you have Fujoshi money and straight girl money and gay dude money, but like straight dude, like everybody's on board. Like we can all watch this together. Or like Given was so popular and everybody's watching it. Like even if you're not into gay dudes, you just love the story and how it's portrayed, that we're all on board for that.
Yeah, like straight baiting, you know?
Yeah, it's hard because when something has like BL sells it to a certain audience. If you tell me it's a BL, I don't care what it is. I'm going to watch it. But if you say it's a BL to some people, it automatically detracts. So I don't think that, like, I honestly don't think that you could have, like, initially a BL that everybody is going to want to love, because you've got to have something to evangelize. You've got to have something that, like, changes people's minds. To give people a reason to say, okay, I know you don't like BL, but it's different. You've got to come see this. And
those,
I don't think it's going to happen up front.
Dang evangelical fujoshis.
It's like I just thought, you know, like... I said, I've never been surprised by something that's BL.
Yeah.
But what if we did get surprised? Like, surprise BL out of nowhere. How would we be able to
But then they can't
that?
Tell you it's a BL.
Exactly. Like, should we maybe not...
Because I think we're talking about Yuri and Ice here.
Oh, no, we're not. I'm thinking something like fictional.
No, but I'm saying, like, in terms of, right. like, the last thing that kind of did this, that captured everybody. I mean, Given got a lot of, like, coverage and was, like, really popular this season, but I don't know if Given made the huge waves that it made, like that Yuri and Ice made.
Imagine something in the future that's as great as Yuri and Ice, a fabulous story, character arcs, and there's a central gay relationship, and everybody loves it, even your super Christian grandma.
Mm-mm-mm. But then I don't, unless the creator said this is BL, it wouldn't be BL. So, I can still love it.
Well, like Brokeback Mountain, nobody had read the short story because it was buried like in the archives. And the promotional posters, and this is true, were all like Jack Twist with his wife and a baby. Mm-hmm. And so no one knew it was supposed to be gay until they got in the theater, which is how people learned about it, which is how it got such a huge following.
Yeah.
So maybe if we just buried the genre.
Straight painting. What Crunchyroll tried to do for Given is because, and that's why we saw the discourse about like, well, just because some people say Given's a BL, it's not really a BL because it's better. And they were marketing it as just like a music story, which I think you can do, but one Google away, you're going to find out that it's actually BL. So you've got to also like find people who, if they find out like, okay, it's BL, it's not going to ruin their day.
I mean, these people weren't Googling Yuri on Ice. Or Dokusei.
Well, you could Google Yuri on Ice, but you couldn't find anything.
Yeah, because no one knew.
Yuri on Ice was the one that, like, people will tell you in anime, we didn't think it was going to do well because it was a figure skating anime. Like, going into it, you could tell it was for girls. And that put it at a disadvantage. But I think that it's hard because of the way that anime has to be marketed. Like, you have to have a genre. You have to have an audience to target. You can't just say, oh, it's for everybody. Because then how are you going to market it?
Yeah.
So they said it was for these groups, and then that either is for good or bad. That's getting a little bit on a tangent.
Yeah.
But
on the topic of Brokeback Mountain, Thailand had the same thing. They had Love of Siam, which was not marketed as a LGBT movie. And then people went to the theaters when it opened up, and it was. And some people were mad, but it became a humongous hit. And it won, like, all the Thai Oscars that year. And it's an amazing movie that everyone should watch. And it has a music sub-story. So, you know, if you like Given, maybe you should try Love of Siam. And Love of Siam is really just... I can't say enough about Love of Siam. But,
Probably on my mini manga by now.
It is another, surprise BL. So it could happen. There could be a surprise BL anime at some point.
I think that, Promare kind of did that. Because if you look at the... On paper, who's going to go see Promare? Trigger fans. Because the first time we went to see it, the audience was probably 50-50, maybe majority male. Mm-hmm. And that, on opening day in Japan, I had a coworker who went. She was like, yeah, it was totally guys. And then as soon as, like, all you got to have is, like, one girl to see and then tell. And then, like, because my coworker spoiled it for me. But that is what made me want to see it. And that's what made me tell all of y'all you had to go see it. So it's really difficult then because it's, like, you've got to almost, like, spoiler, like, how do you convince somebody that, like, okay, I know on paper this thing is not gonna look like it's for us, but then it is. Because Premiere completely switched their audience. Like, if you go now, like, there's not a single dude in the theater. Well, it's all women.
Unless he's dragged there.
If I had seen Premiere without hearing anything about it beforehand, I would not have shipped the couple, probably. Because, I don't know if this is a spoiler, I'll cut it out if it is, but CPR is not the same as making out, okay? I'll say it a million times. It saves lives, okay?
Yeah.
CPR is a serious medical business.
Saves his heart, too.
Yeah.
I will say, up until the kiss, I was like, why the hell did she drag me to this movie? There was
not a kiss! It's CPR!
For some people,
you're breathing air in!
And then it, like, immediately flips the switch for you.
Yeah, but, like, that's literally the end of the movie.
I know, and then you have to rewatch it.
In a relationship like that, you could see it as, like, a moonlighting thing. Again, the pink washing where, you know, enemies to friends, lovers, no. It's CPR. And then the movie's over.
Yeah.
So,
as a basic life support provider, I feel extremely... offended that you think this is a kiss. No.
But I wouldn't have shipped them anyway.
The creators have said, right. Thank you for supporting Galileo, and there's official merchandise that says Galileo because I have that shirt on pre-order.
And however, after the fact.
Oh, they knew because they knew who their audience was because I guarantee you that like 90% of whatever million they've made at the box office is because of women going.
But
because
listen,
it's not guys going to these cheer screenings.
Is Promare BL?
No.
Well, then there you go. I don't know where we're stuck. It's not a surprise BL because it's not a BL. I mean, Yuri on Ice is not a surprise BL.
I don't think a surprise BL can exist because by definition, BL is, you know, the romance is going to happen. The last thing that really surprised me in a BL, when we were watching Given, And I thought that the short, like, blonde-haired guy who was, like, real gruff, who doesn't say anything, I thought they were going to try to make him get together with the other blonde guy, the two adults. And then he walks down to the basement. He's got a surprise boyfriend or ex-boyfriend. I was genuinely shocked because I did not see that character coming because I had not read the manga. So, like, surprise elements in somebody's past or, like, another character coming in, that'll get you. But you can't, like... I don't know. You just, the way that BL is, I don't think it can happen.
Well, I would argue, again, for Love of Siam, actually, I will shut up about Love of Siam, is that even though you didn't know going into it, you learn pretty early on, you're like, oh, this guy's gay and those guys, and he loves that guy, and they might be kind of gay for each other pretty early on. So it's not like you have to wait till the end, like Promare, like you. I mean, some people might have got up and walked out. It was so early on kind of thing. So you could have something that you didn't know it. You go into it and then immediately you're like, oh my God, this is a BL. But because you're tricked into being there, you might stay if you're not Fujoshi. And then you might like it. That would be the kind of the thing. Like, and Brokeback Mountain 2 was less than halfway through. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't at the end either. So you could, early, you could surprise...
But you could not market it as a BL.
I would have not watched Brokeback Mountain if I saw the trailer or the poster, because, and even the first like 20 minutes is they're up in the mountains, there's some sheep. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wasn't it cows?
No, they got their sheep mixed up with the Salvadorian sheep, and they had to like separate the two.
Can't even remember.
I've seen that movie many times.
I would say that if Ten Dance got a anime, that might be a surprise BL, because now it's picked up by a different licensor.
Yeah, but I think it's still going to fall in the same way as Given, in that the anime licensor, if they have any sense, won't market it as a BL, but those of us who know. Like, that, I don't think you can trick a Fujoshi. I think you can trick everybody else.
Yeah.
But the only way a Fujoshi is going to watch something is, or watch a BL, is if you tell him it's BL. Like, you can't trick me. Like, I had to like, not spoil it for y'all, but I had to, like, be like, trust me on Promare. Like, you knew that there was some kind of content.
Well, that would be the thing, is that the first few people would go and go, oh my God, it's gay, and we'd go, oh my God, it's gay.
I know, and that's why it pretty went.
You say that you wouldn't go see Promare, but like we talked about character designs, they're beautiful, they're shippable, there's a height difference. But I would have seen it. I watch non-BL anime all the time, and I ship Boku no Hero is not a
but
BL,
but some of these people here
it.
Would not have gone. Like, and that's no shade against y'all, but it's, you know, it's like you've got to convince somebody, you know, why I pretty much tell anybody to watch any kind of anime is based upon the shipping content.
Yeah, but Fujoshi watched more than BL.
Did I?
You did. You said it has a great story, and I watched it, and I'm like, there's nothing gay here. There's just a love triangle.
Okay, but you watch non-BL anime, so I can recommend you non-BL things. Some of these people, the only thing I'm going to recommend you, trust me, it will have content. Now, we may disagree about how strong the content is, but in my belief, there is content.
Well, like,
people don't watch as much. There's lots of people here who watch very little.
So, Psycho Pass, for example, I would, you know, has canon gay characters.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What?
Well, I'm sure. I've
seen it. The female scientist.
Oh, that's right.
There's a lesbian.
You always
and
have
then I would. I would. I.
I know. How do I, as a lesbian,
I forgot.
I was thinking of gay, like men, like male gay characters. I'm like,
where?
And then Kogane. That's the main guy, right?
Kogami.
Kogami. When she says to him, "We should have gotten together," he goes, "Yeah, neither of us are the other's type." Like, and he was so upset about his losing his partner, which doesn't necessarily mean he's gay, but then by that comment and him being not interested in any women at all, I would argue that you could argue that he is a canon gay character, and therefore that was enjoyable to me.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I mean,
subtext isn't text, but I get you.
Yeah. We all have our... Yeah, you have to make yourself read. Okay. No, I think we gotta get back on it, because we were way on a tangent there. But Psycho Pass Season 3 is streaming, by the way. Okay, so on to BL at large. Do you feel like BL has gotten better over time? And particularly, do you feel that old BL had a better plot? And we're going to consider old BL anything prior to 2000. So the old millennia.
No.
I mean, what are the examples here that people have added you about?
Okay, so the context, I don't want to pull up the direct tweets. The context was that in discussing all of this stuff, I think people felt like, to some extent, I was shitting on BL, which I was like, no, I fundamentally love BL. I'm not trying to say that because something isn't BL that BL's bad. But then they took issue with, to some extent, me saying, like, some of the bad elements in BL, which... Y'all all know our research around here. Like, I am the first one to say, like, it doesn't matter if there's bad content. I love shit. But it was specifically, like, I got direct tweets from people who were like, BL was better, like, years ago. And they brought up examples like Aino Kusabi. That was, like, the main one that people brought up examples for. I think somebody might have said Song of the Wind and Trees.
So, yeah, I guess...
They felt like new BL was too romancy, too PWP is what I inferred. That new BL was trash, therefore old BL was better.
I think they're looking at Renta, and that's their problem.
that's true. Pretty good. So
Renta
there's...
Renta sponsors us will be nice to
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with Renta.
No,
but
Renta puts out a great amount of products. But the thing is, like, when you have a ton of products, some of it is going to be great. There's... product that they put out that's like high quality Oscar worthy kind of BL, but then you have a whole lot of light fluffy PWP kind of stuff.
Candy.
Yeah. It's candy. It's good. Oh, we like candy. we like candy.
But Happy Halloween.
No. Like 2 weeks late.
Yeah, but no. It's not Oscar
Orthodox
worthy.
Halloween.
Yeah. Years ago we didn't have as much put out. And it all had to be high level or else it wouldn't survive because you only got a few things and very little got published. It was hard. But now we got everything. There's like, you don't have to be printed. There's online only. And that reduces cost. You can just shove everything onto the internets and it has everything, including all the McDonald's level BL and candy and as well as the like fine dining.
Well, because... So
sift through.
Some changes that people have noted, like we say there's a sort of a perception that rape has decreased and other problematic content, but especially rape has decreased in BL over time. But especially the number of tragic endings where the characters had to die and like be horribly tortured and horrible things has certainly decreased over time. And it's not just because we have more now and those still exist, but then they're outweighed by other things. I think it actually has decreased in prevalence other than that. But like people say, oh, there's Aino Kusabi has so much plot. Well, it's a book. It's a novel. So of course it's going to have more plot. But then you'll say like New York was so long and it had so much plot and it was tragic and people got AIDS and died and got raped and got horrible things, you know? And... what are some other ones? Zetsuai. Anybody gonna call Zetsuai good? How about Fujimi Orchestra? It is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing ever. And so you can't say that all BL back then was way better than what we have now. And another thing about Aino Kusabi, I think, is it's a light novel, which came to America in English, and there were OVAs of it. That has not happened for hardly any other light novels, especially recent ones. So we have no basis for comparison for something like Aino Kusabi that was a actual book. So I would not even compare that to things. And also problematic content galore in Aino Kusabi. Yeah. And it had some big holes in it too. So I don't know. There's lots of things we can say about that. But
and I think it's their lack of knowledge. They don't go out like us and read everything that's coming out that year. Like I would argue that I Hear the Sunspot is very plot heavy and there's so much going on in that story and people just, they're like, oh, well, all of our stuff is PWP. And I'm like, they barely kissed. I don't think you understand how long I'm waiting for this.
Slow burn.
I will be surprised if a BL happens there.
How about Twittering Birds Never Fly?
But I will say that I have never been so horny yet so bored watching Aino Kusabi. Just watching an Uke ride a motorcycle for like forever. Shout out to Puzzle Savant, but I've never been an Aino Kusabi fan.
Oh, I love it.
And a non-contemporary setting does not a plot make, and does not, and having something having a plot is not automatically good. And I have never been a fan of the original or old things are better. And I think it's a little self-indulgent, maybe self-entitled to say that BL from before when Japan was still very much repressed about LGBT people is better than now where they're getting more recognition and universities are having more open talks.
You just haven't looked hard enough to find the good content. That's
kind of
what I felt like.
I remember in a history class once, it was like anthropologic history, can't remember exactly, we were talking about judging the past based on current morals.
Yeah, that's like a whole big thing in historical discourse, even to be able to go back and say whether something was genocide or not, which I do not want to get into this argument here, but that is something that definitely plays into when we talk about BL. You know, like hindsight is always 20/20. I think that we see this within the anime community as well, as like people say like, oh, it was better 20 years ago. And I was like, really? Sitting there with an actual script on your like $80 VHS tape for a thrice like copied Dragon Ball episode was so much better than being able to stream literally anything. Like, no, you're just trying to gatekeep because you want people to know that you had to go through that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And I think BL now is more like, we have more variety than we did back then.
Yeah. Good or bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's good or bad. It's not the same thing that you've read over and over again most of the time. People probably aren't going to die as much, and that's great.
Nice. Yeah, like, they're not going to die as much. They're probably not going to get raped as much. Like, we've already solved two of the biggest problems that people had. I think that, you know, if you find yourself in a rut with a lot of the manga you're reading being the same, where, like, you're bored of it, seek out titles that you wouldn't normally read. Try something new to see, okay, is this something I like? Because our opinions change over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back to the library being open, some people's opinions about problematic content have changed over time.
Yes. Stop rereading Aino Kusabi and pick up something else.
Yeah. And then, well, that colors your perceptions too. Like, if all you're reading are the same things, is that you, just because it's your favorite, it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. Because like, my favorite stuff is objectively not good for a lot of people.
Another good thing. Less Nazis there were in BL West. I haven't seen a Nazi in forever.
Significantly fewer Nazis. Not the same for brothers.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, because there's something new on my reading manga that I noticed it had brothers. Like, oh, bookmarks. Then I go read it
always
later.
A cop-out. Like, my stepbrother? You weakling.
Be a real man. It's always like adopted brothers in some sense. But, you know, whatever. We're a very, very small demographic here.
There's no brothers in Winter Cicada. Is it good then? No.
Yeah. Well, and everybody's opinions about like BL are so specialized now. Mm-hmm. It's not just like
luxury.
Yeah, and this, yeah, the luxury again. There is so much stuff that we had to read or watch just because all you wanted was content. Like, I don't actually have to sit through a 13-episode awful television show just to get to a kiss. I can find exactly what I want. Like, I don't even have to watch all of the BL now because as we're getting more and more, like, it's not a given that everybody's going to watch. Because, I mean, I was a little bit surprised that not everybody had seen Dakaichi.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Dakaichi might not be everybody's cup of tea in this group.
It's not.
Yeah, no. And that's what I realized. Like, oh, we're beyond the point of watching for survival.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually options now.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
And there are things with plot. Like, people take these stories that have little plot as the example, and then they compare it with something old that has a long plot. Like, God, there are stories that have started in the last 10 years, forget 2000, like, since 2010... that are long, that have long plots, that have good plots with side stories and are involved and convoluted and are good, and some that aren't good. But it's all there. I don't think you can say that it has degenerated any since before times. I would say that it's only gotten better because of the rise of variety and the fall in terribly... just tropes that are damaging actually to gay people, such as the gay characters always have to die, or one of them has to die or be very tragic or be raped or be foreign, because that doesn't happen in Japan. That's a foreigner thing. Gosh, that alone I would say is an improvement.
Yeah, there seems to be much more sensitivity for BL mangaka to write a story. Like, they're attempting to make it authentic. Sometimes it fails. Because, I mean, Escape Journey is a good one where, yeah, there's a really problematic rape scene that didn't really need to happen, but then you have these really good moments where the characters are talking about, like, hey, it's going to be hard for us to find an apartment together because Japan won't let two same-sex couples, like, rent an apartment. Like, roommates are just not a thing. You can't... There's discrimination there. So I think that as, you know, you've had kind of, like, this pretty sudden change probably, too, in a lot of, like, the cultural attitudes. Like, BL is adapting to it. Maybe not as fast as people want, but the change is there.
It's like Netflix, you know. You used to get them on DVDs and mail, so there was a smaller selection, and now something gets one season because they were like, sure, let's try it. We've got the space.
I think a really good example recently, to bring it up, for just how BL has changed, is that there was a tweet from the official Dakaichi Twitter that said that the gist of it was like, well, now that it's Reiwa, which is the new era in Japan, they've kind of retconned the character Chunta, who was very rapey in the manga and slightly less rapey in the anime. They basically said he is now a man who will listen to the word no. which, I mean, yeah, they're retconning it kind of like in Don't Be Cruel, but it's being addressed. And so you see this self-awareness from manga that are like, okay, I was problematic, and now we're going to try to not be as much so. Which they don't have to do that. But clearly there's enough reason from a market standpoint where they have to address these things because they may find that they will lose an audience.
And one thing with the old BL that I felt like everyone, when we talk about the ones that we like, the ones that we grew up with and stuff like that, that we've started reading, everyone gives us slack or flack for it. Like, oh my God, you liked that. Oh, that was so, that had this or that in it. I'm like, you don't understand how few there were out there. That's it. Mm-hmm. And now we have the luxury. So saying that we haven't changed and that we haven't grown is just kind of, it's limiting you as a person. If you like BL, try the new stuff. I feel like that person just didn't have enough research.
See, I'm allowed to talk about Tyrant Falls in Love like that, but you're not, because you didn't go through it. It's still pretty important.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, we've kind of covered a lot of the other questions that I had written here. But on the topic of, like, titles specifically, like, what titles, what's something kind of recently that you might recommend to somebody who has a negative opinion of newer BL?
So I read the first volume of Happy Shitty Life by Harada. I don't read a lot of Harada, but she was like one of the few consistent answers on our Fujoshi survey. So I read it and I fucking loved it. I don't think I've ever laughed like out loud so much at a BL. And it is like trope busting because it's about two bottoms, one of whom was bottoming for his girlfriend. Both of them are bisexual, both of them like women, but they're both like bottoms, and they're just like, well, how is this gonna work? And it's just really funny. Like, it sounds like plot would plot, and it is, but it's also about like finding direction and like honest character arcs, and that just really took me by surprise. I haven't read a BL like that like ever, so
yeah, I don't think I've seen the like two bottoms type thing.
Yeah.
Well, I actually would a little bit disagree with you because I didn't think it was really setting it up for them two to be together.
Oh, they're not going to be together,
right?
They don't like each other.
in that case, is it a BL? And both of them want a girlfriend. Like, they may or may not be bisexual, but they are still wanting it to be in a heterosexual relationship where they're on the receiving end, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost, I would argue, not a BL, because it's
Isn't
not setting
it a BL
up for
manga?
Them.
It is by a renowned
so,
BL manga.
But it's a spin-off of a BL manga, but does that always have to be a BL?
It just depends on which magazine it runs. I think authorial intent here, but this one has, it seems like, some LGBT
like the Teen
elements.
Spirit, Green Teen Spirit, or
oh,
whatever.
Sounds like Green Spirit.
Yeah, and that one I would say is not a BL.
Yeah, that one is, I think it probably falls under the header of BL as far as like how it's categorized officially, but it is much more of an LGBT manga.
Yeah.
Well, right now one character is like, well, I'm not introduced, but that was great, you know, you fucking me in the ass. Maybe he'll, but they're both like, at the end, let's like find like beautiful girls who can like top us.
Yeah.
Like, that's gonna be our goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the other night at dinner, I mentioned my androgynous boyfriend, because that was a manga that I didn't realize was published here. And I'd seen it because they had done some promotion for it at Animate Girls Fest, and I was like, oh, because I didn't know that we had this in the U.S. And then I looked it up, and it's like, oh, it's a girl and her androgynous boyfriend. And I was immediately like, nope.
Yeah.
Right there. Sorry. Heterosexual content does not for me in this scenario.
I want to bring up a tangent, though. Like, so, it's by Harada, BL mangaka people love. It's got two dudes having sex, but they're both bi, not interested in each other, so they're not going to end up together. Does that make it not a BL, or the fact that she is still calling it a BL mean that BL as a genre has a chance to grow and expand its definition over time?
I mean, I think if the author says it's a BL, that's kind of like, at the end of the day, the ultimate. Because if it runs in a BL magazine, then that like pretty much tells us, well, the author probably intended it for it to be a BL. But like, if you took something that didn't run in a BL magazine and they said it was, like if they came out and said, oh, well, yeah, you're supposed to be a BL, then that would make it BL. So it's like at the, whatever the author said.
Yeah, because like we're drawing lines in the sand, but like at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be a romance that's the focus. It could be a friends with benefit situation that they then just grow out from.
But you knew going into reading it that at some level they were going to have sex.
Yes, I knew they were going to have sex because it's like, oh, two bottoms, all right.
Because nothing says that the characters have to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which or is, even get together in the first place. Because they're not romantically inclined, which I think is like the hang-up here, is that they're not interested in each other romantically. They're
so it's not a long-term thing. Yeah, which I think that a lot of BL, it becomes a long-term thing, so that's what's different.
Yeah.
I think for a recommendation, for a one-shot, I really like Fourth Generation Head. cover aside. And also, Yoneda Ko in general, her for a one shot, I would say No Touching at All has a good plot.
It's pretty relatable, regardless of LGBT or not. Yes,
so I would say that for people who like old and they're trying to get something newer, and I think Torturing Birds Never Fly as a series might be good because it still has that tortured Uke character who terrible things are happening to, have happened in the past when he didn't want them to happen to him.
That's true.
So that carries over some of those things, but deals with them in a new plot, new art style kind of way. It is still a new wave BL. Which is different from a new BL, but I like that a lot. I think that has some parallels with some old BL.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I recommend Given because it's just a lot of layers of good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like a cake that I'm not allowed to have my low-carb diet, but very good. Like, you have the obvious layer going in of the bands and people needing to work together for a common goal. It has a bit of, like, musical theory and kind of things like that to draw on your band nerds, but I'm a tone-deaf person and I still enjoy it. I can get past those parts. And then you have, like, the personal interactions as well as multiple relationships of different forms, not just one gay relationship, but, like, and also dealing with people's past. I mean, just, there's a lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for everybody in that.
Yeah. My go-to here is probably going to be Blue Morning, Yutsu no Asa, which... I think that some of what a lot of people like about the older BL is that they felt like there was so much attention to the plot. And I feel like Blue Morning definitely, it's a very faithful, plot-heavy BL. And it has some of the same elements that I think you'll find in the older anime, too, in terms of the character dynamics. So if you're looking for something that's going to be maybe historical or be kind of long, like it's more of like a Downton Abbey type that's I don't know if that's going to sell it or not, but like where you've got that kind of like, if you're somebody who enjoys lush costume dramas, then that's going to be your BL. Like if you found that maybe you liked older BL because you got into it, like you were not initially a Fujoshi and then you found something and it was so good that it turned you into it, I think that Blue Morning can kind of function like that. I don't think you would have to be a Fujoshi to read it. I think that being Fujoshi you might enjoy it more. But I would recommend that one. And it recently wrapped up with the 8th volume that'll be coming out in English. So it's long enough to hold your interest, but not too long that you're not going to be able to finish it.
Yeah. And it's not one of a lot of the ones that are longer these days, especially ones that are really tropey, they recycle the same plot lines over and over again. Yeah. And that does not fall under that category.
Yeah, Blue Morning is completely, like, from start to finish, a unique plot. And it is so plot heavy to... There's some whole volumes where, like, nothing really BLE happens, even though, like, the characters are still trying to figure out how to be together, but there's, like, no sex. And so then, like, the next volume, her author note from the previous volume would have been like, I'm really sorry there's no BL, I'll try harder next time. And then it's like, then she makes up for it, you know, or there'll be a bonus scene. So you still get your content. But I think that speaks to the strength of the story, that her editors were like, this is okay. Because with BL, like, you can tell when an editor is like, you need to have done something. Like, I think that I Hear the Sunspot is a pretty good example of, like,
mm-hmm.
the author did not seem to have intend for it to be BL in the first hand, but I guess when she pitched it somewhere, or whoever decided, we want to publish this, it was a BL magazine that picked it up, and they told her, hey, it's a BL magazine, so you know what you gotta do. And mm-hmm. so then she was able to find a way that felt natural, because it's such a great story that it didn't feel like she was having to, like, shove these two characters together in a natural way. But in that case, like, she initially did not intend for it to be BL, but then it got a good audience with the BL audience. Like, it was so popular that they basically asked her to continue it, and now it's, like, full-on BL. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... now, I know a lot of people, when I'm thinking about suggesting, is they're talking about Ainu Kusabi, which is a lot of supernatural themes. If we were going to go off of that, a newer one that I would suggest is Love in Limbo. Has a lot to do with the storyline about world building.
Yeah.
It's short, so it's mm-hmm. not as long. I mean, again, we can't compare it to a novel, mm-hmm. but it's very good. I also think Coyote has a lot of world building. It's modern set, sort of. But it's also... got a lot of the history behind the werewolves and things like that. So if you like Sex Pistols or things mm-hmm. with animal dynamics, that would be a good one.
Yeah, I think anybody who really liked Aino Kusabi should look into Omegaverse.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who used to not like Omegaverse. Like, so I think that it's got a lot of similarities there, because if you liked Aino Kusabi, I'm presuming that you liked the very sexually charged world building, which
yeah.
Omegaverse has that built in.
You should probably get a list of titles, because I feel like Omegaverse, more than anything, is like a pitfall of just PWD.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Kusakabe Carey's works, and then
Kashikomarimashita Destiny.
Yep, never going to be able to say that one.
Kashikomarimashita Destiny.
Yeah, those are two pretty good standout examples for Omegaverse.
Yeah, and I think, I guess, maybe a novel recommendation. Now, this is not available in English officially, though there was a group translating it online, if it's still there. So Seikaichi Hatsukoi, for all its many, many faults, has one light novel that I will not even speak the name of, but the other one is The Case of Yokozawa Takafumi, or Yokozawa Takafumi no Bai, which is the wild bear of Marukawa, the marketing guy who was in love with Takano, and finally Takano was like, listen, we're over. We've been over. I'm not coming back to you. Like, just let me be with my new almost boyfriend. And so he's sad, and then he starts dating the editor of another one of their publications, who is a single dad, because his wife died a long time ago, and they have a very healthy, happy relationship, supportive, just all around good. There is plot, though that's very romance heavy. There's not a lot of world building because it's in today's world, and the world has already been built based on the Seikaichi Hatsukoi universe. But it's really good. There are several volumes of it, and I would recommend that as a good plot and also a wholesome one where it's not problematic, You can like problematic things.
Yes, can like all of this bad manga we've talked about.
Yeah. If you're looking for like old school BL, then you're not concerned about the problematic. Yeah. You know what you're here for.
Yeah.
So it's MADK.
Yeah. So I think that pretty much wraps up our discussion. If, you know, people listening, if you have any thoughts about this, feel free to hit us up. We're always, always here for the discourse. And we just want to know what people's thoughts are, because it seems to be a pretty big issue within the BL community. We welcome the discussion.
And ANN, even if you are aware that those titles were not BL, and that's just the way people voted, you could have at least said so. In parentheses, actually BL. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that people voted these even though they're not BL, but this is how people voted. But you didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they actually call Your Own Eyes a BL, in the description. So yes. They don't get any, excuse. No point.
I had PTSD flashbacks to when they did that. I was like, no, no.
No.
They can't find out.
Yeah. If the authors found out about that, or if some of the creators found out about that, which they probably did, lawsuits might incur.
Crunchyroll's going to hear about it.
Litigiousness may ensue.
Beeps just getting louder in the distance.
People wonder why Ice Auto is so hard. We will tie it back to that ANN article.
Yes. So, it wasn't us.
Okay. So thank you again for listening. This episode hopefully will be up before Thanksgiving, but happy Thanksgiving. Happy travels to those of us going to see Bowsy and Hana half a world away for Thanksgiving.
Couldn't be me. Can't relate.
We'll have photos. We will definitely. So pay attention to the BL Garden official accounts.
We'll bring Mark and Lauren with us.
Yes. So we will have lots of pictures with our mascots, and we will try to post pictures when we can. So the great Singapore trip to see Bowsy and Hana shall commence.
Yay!
Alright, and that wraps it up. I'm Cho.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Melissa.
Erin.
I'm Charles. Happy Thanksgiving.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.